Wow, isn't it good to be in the presence of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. We need more atmosphere changes, amen? People who know that it's so good to be in the presence of God and we're not afraid to declare it and to express ourselves in the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this year. I'm already fired up. I'm excited. I can't wait to dive into what God wants to do this year. But I know that He's got great things in store for all of us because that's His plan and that's His purpose. You know, expectation is the atmosphere for miracles. If you are not expecting anything, you are not going to see miracles. There has to be an expectation in your heart and in your spirit for what God can do in and through you this year. We can't just say, well, it's the same old. I spoke to somebody earlier and they already started again. Negative. Oh, yeah, what's new? You're trying to say, Happy New Year. Like, what's new? You know, like, okay. If that's how you want to start your year, that's okay. But I promise you, you will go further if you put your hope and your trust in Jesus. And you expect Jesus to show up and do great things in your life. So today I want to share a few thoughts. It's just going to be thoughts coming out of what I believe is going to be our theme for this year. As you know, every year we get excited about what would be the central focus for the year. And many times we would wait for fasting and prayer and thereafter we'll declare it. But this year I was clear. Just before the year came to an end, God started speaking to me about 2023. And He said to me, Justin, I want you to raise a standard. He says, I want you to raise a standard. And I started wrestling with this word. And I'm like, why? And we're coming out of conference. We're so excited. I thought we're already on a high. There's a big standard that we've already set. And God said, next year, raise the standard. And I started praying and wrestling through this word. And God led me to Isaiah 59. And before I go to the main scripture, please pardon us. We don't, our screens blew on Christmas Day. I don't know what happened. And so we're busy trying to restore. Thank goodness. Thank you, Tyler, for making the most of old technology. We're using PowerPoint today. Amen. And you did a brilliant job. Let's give Tyler a hand. Amen. I thought we were going to worship without songs, but without lyrics, but we managed to pull something. And we're busy working on it. Next week it will be up. We're running. We're raising a standard. Amen. Raising a standard. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws our way, we will raise the standard. So when you hear that scripture, when I say Isaiah 59, and I know some of you who know your scriptures, you already went straight to Isaiah 59 and verse 19, which is the key text. It says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard, will raise a standard. And that's our theme scripture this year. I really believe that the enemy has been throwing his best at us. He has tried everything to stop the church. But I feel like the Lord is saying this year, I am going to raise a standard by my Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. It doesn't matter what you have been going through. God is about to raise the standard. He's about to lift the standard spiritually. And I really believe that if you would lay hold of this word and begin to trust God to raise a standard in your life will never be the same again. Before I unpack that scripture, God took me through Isaiah 59 and I was reading the whole of Isaiah 59. And this is how it starts. I have to read this for you. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Now listen to me. The sin issue, Jesus Christ has already dealt with. He came to deal with your sins so that you can be reconciled with God. So when I talk about Isaiah, I know when you hear this, everybody like, yeah, Old Testament stuff. But the Lord started speaking to me and he said, my hand is not too short that I cannot save. There are many of us that have been crying out, God, save me. God, come through. God, I need a breakthrough. And we've prayed these things and they've become a cliche. And I was asking God, why is it that year in, year out, people are crying out for the hand or for your hand to move in their lives and nothing seems to be happening? And when it happens, just a little move here and a little move there. God, you're the all-powerful God. When I read throughout the scriptures, God moved in powerful ways and lives were radically transformed. God moved and delivered a nation that was in slavery and brought them into freedom. When God moves, great things happen. And I'm asking, why is it that great things are not happening in our time? Why are we not seeing great things? And I'm not saying God is not moving. We had testimonies last night and people were testifying of God's move. So please hear me. I'm not saying God is not moving. He is moving. But why are we not seeing the power of God the way the Old Testament people saw the power of God? The New Testament people saw the power of God. We need to see it in our time. We need to see blind eyes being opened. We need to see deaf ears opening. We need to see the sick being healed. Not here and there. Not when there is a conference. We don't have to wait for a conference to see and experience the power of God. We need to experience the power of God on a daily basis. And the Lord started speaking to me. He says, behold, my hand is not short. It's got nothing to do with my hand. He says, my hand is not shortened. But... And my ear not heavy or deaf that I cannot hear you. It's like I've heard the cries of my people. I've heard what they are praying and what they are asking me to do. And I am able to do this. But he says, there is this thing, your sin that has separated you from your God. Now here's the thing. Jesus has reconciled us from God. But somehow in our lives we are allowing sin. Now sin, for the sake of this message, is simply this. According to the New Testament, it's simply missing the mark. Before you think I'm just about to guilt trip you and make you feel bad at the beginning of the year because you know of the things that you've been doing, Jesus will deal with that stuff. But what I want to say to you is that sin simply means missing the mark. There is a standard that God has set for your life. There is a standard that God had for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he said to them, of all the trees in this garden you can eat, but of this one you shall not eat. God was setting a standard. And I want to say to you, God wants to do great things in your life, but he has set a standard for what he wants to do in your life. And he says to you, you need to begin to raise your standards according to my standards. Isaiah, the same prophet who spoke, said that our ways, God's ways are not like our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And so when we want to see the move of God in our lives, we need to raise our standards and bring our ways to his ways. You see, many of us, when we read that scripture in Isaiah where he says that his ways are higher than our ways, guess how we read that? Oh, well, God is too holy and he's too perfect, so we will never measure up, so it's okay, I will keep my standard here. But what Isaiah was saying to the people was that, hey, God has got higher standards for you, and it's time you begin to raise your standard to match the standard of God. Not to look at it and say, well, we will never measure up. We'll never measure up. Not to look at it and say, oh, well, you know, it's only for the selected few. God wants you to raise your standard to his standard. The reason why people are not seeing the move of God the way they saw it in the days of old is because we have lowered our standards. We have lowered our standards. We come to church and we come to church with a worldly standard. We come here just to do what the world expects us to do. We are not willing to pursue the high standards of God. No wonder why we're not seeing the higher miracles and the greater miracles that God wants to do in our midst. Because we have settled for low standards. Isn't it amazing that most people want to see the favor and the blessings of God upon their lives, but they don't want to live according to his standards? You are happy to pray all night. God, please bless me. And I need more of your blessings. 2023, we're going to be going into fasting and prayer. And people will be saying, God, I need more. I need more of your blessings. But here's the thing. How many of us are saying, God, I want to live by your standard? We want God's success. We want God's favor. We want God's blessings, but we want it on our terms. And God says, hey, it's not my problem. You're just lowering the standards. There's something about raising the standard. When you raise the standard, you raise the level of expectation. You see, the reason why we become worse and worse is when we begin to lower standards, things don't become better, they become worse. I wish our government could hear this. Because here's the thing, we think if we lower the standard of education, more people will pass, but I'm telling you, more people will fail. Because they will stop applying themselves because we keep lowering the standard. If we begin to accept 30% as the pass rate, and it used to be 80 and above, and now we're saying it's okay, 30 is fine. We're lowering the standard, and guess what? We never get a better nation. We never get a better people. Same applies in the house of God. If we keep lowering the standards, we're not going to get better Christians. You are not going to one day just wake up and become a super powerhouse in the things of the Lord when you are lowering the standard every day. You are going to gradually get worse and worse, and you're going to be comfortable with your low standard. If your standard is like, oh, well, as long as I go to church on Easter and in Christmas, it's fine. That's the standard. You think you're going to be a better Christian? No. But when you begin to raise the standard, and here's what the Lord wants to do. He wants you to raise your standard to match his standard. And you and I need to start saying, this year, God, I'm raising the standard. I'm raising the standard. And I'm not saying compete and compare yourself with anybody, but I'm saying raise your own standard. Amen. The reason why I'm expecting even angels to show up is I'm raising my own standard. I'm saying, God, I'm tired of lowering the standard of the supernatural to say it used to be for the people of old. Like all that prophetic stuff was in the days of old. No, it can be in our time if we raise the standard. But if we lower the standard, none of us will ever experience what they experienced. Amen. You see, when Jesus spoke to them, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That was raising the standard. And when the standard was high, when they gathered in that prayer meeting and the power of God came upon them, they received something that they were expecting, great power. Amen. In fact, before Jesus went, they said, hey, you told us about this power. When is it coming? Because they were expecting. And if you're not expecting the move of God this year, if you're not expecting the power of God, none of that is going to manifest in your life. But if you raise the standard, like everybody else can be lukewarm in church, but I'm not going to be lukewarm. I am not just going to sit there and look all cool, calm and collected while my life is falling apart. I am going to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because if I cry out and raise the standard, maybe God will see me and do something in my life. You can't be mediocre in 2023. Amen. You can't just like, I'm just going to be average. Let's raise the standard, Word of Truth Ministry. Amen. Let's raise the standard. God is calling us to lift up the standard. Like, we're not just going to be ordinary Christians. That just like, I'm happy. We went to church, we sang 3 songs and we went home. We need, there must be more. There must be more. And we are beginning to lift up the standard and say, God, we want to see the more. Amen. You have to raise the standard. You know, one of the things that the Lord has said to me as we look at this scripture, I'm just going to go to the key text and just help you understand a few things. I wish I could put this on the screen so that you can see it with me. So in verse 19, it starts by saying, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. This is the pretext before we get to our text. He says, they will fear the name of the Lord. And if you have ever read Isaiah 59, this is where the turning begins to happen. Because after he speaks about his hand not being too short, he speaks about how the wickedness of the people has been hindering the move of God. And he goes on to mention all sorts of sins that they were up to and all sorts of sins that they were doing. And then he finally begins to introduce a solution. And he says there is a savior, an intercessor, a redeemer who's coming. And he says when he comes, they shall fear the name of the Lord. When God shows up in your life, your neighbor will begin to fear the name of the Lord. Like, surely there is God. I've seen what God can do. So this is a pretext. He says, before we talk about raising the standard, it's not just like a fancy thing. He says, I want the world to say, surely there is God. Because when he shows up in your life, your neighbor will start saying, wow, I know there is a God in heaven. And he says, his glory will be seen from the rising of the sun. Imagine every new day, every sunrise, something glorious is happening in Port Alfred because we've got people that have raised the standard, that are expecting God to move. News reporters will be reporting some miraculous things are happening because some crazy people are beginning to believe God to do amazing things. Then when the enemy comes in like a flood. And the Lord started saying to me, the church has been so focused on the enemy coming in like a flood. We give the enemy so much credit. We always talk about the enemy. Oh, the devil this and the devil that. And he says, I want to tell you that it's time to raise a standard above that of the enemy. So he says, when the enemy comes in like a flood is like something everybody gets to talk about. So I don't know what flood the enemy has brought in your life. Like, you know, when we had the pandemic, when we had this crazy stuff that was happening in the world, everybody was talking about it. The enemy had come in like a flood. But God says, I'm about to raise a standard that the flood will have no effect on your life. Because God is about to raise the standard. Are you hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us? He says, I want to raise the standard that you will stop giving credit to the enemy. All you'll be speaking about is the goodness of God. You just get up and you start glorifying God because you have seen how God has just come through, that it's no longer worth talking about what the enemy is doing. Somebody's going to get it later. No longer worth talking about what the enemy is doing because the standard has been lifted. God wants to raise the standard. You see, even Jesus is all about raising the standard. Even the scripture that you love the most, John 10:10, when he says that the enemy comes or the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life. You see, he's saying, I know the mission of the enemy, but I'm raising a greater standard, that the mission of the enemy will be null and void because I am going to give you abundance that the enemy cannot steal. Amen. God wants to raise a standard in your life this year. But here's what I want you to understand. This is not easy. God is calling you to begin to lift up your eyes above the standards of this world. You see, most of us are happy where we are because we're looking at the cool, lukewarm Christian next to us and they're like, I'm okay. It's time to raise the standard. Because when you raise the standard, you begin to see greater things happening. It just begins to happen. When you say, when I come to pray, I want to see miracle signs and wonders happening. You're raising the standard and guess what? You begin to lift everybody around you. You more comes out of you and the people around you. Tell your neighbor, raise the standard. Raise the standard. Because when you raise your standard, you challenge me to raise my standard. You see, when you've been in a class of average people, they're just mediocre, average kind of people. They just do the bare minimum. You begin to think, I am so good. But when you go to the next level, when they put you in a different standard, you realize that, hey, I need to work a little bit harder for me to reach the standard. And God is saying, I'm raising the standard this year. And he's going to do it by his Spirit. Let me read the last part of that scripture, verse 20. If you are following, you can read it when you get home. Listen to what verse 20 says. The Redeemer will come to Zion. This is how God raises the standard. The Redeemer will come to Zion. And those who turn from their transgressions in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, from the mouth of your children, and from your descendants from this time forevermore. Here's what happens when God wants to raise a standard in your life. He begins to raise the Spirit. He says, it's my Spirit that I've put inside of you. He's not bringing the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already inside of you. And deep is going to begin to call out to deep. Help us, Holy Ghost. You know, you've been looking at the standard of man and you've been watching television and you're looking at what Christianity looks like out there and you're like, yeah, I'm fine. But there's something that the Lord has put deep in your spirit that is going to begin to cry out for more. And when it begins to cry out, the standard begins to lift. That you don't need a pastor to come and tell you, let's fast and pray. You don't need a pastor to come and tell you, let's do it this way and let's reach out. There's going to be this thing inside of you, the Holy Spirit that the Lord has placed inside of you, that is going to begin to bubble and become a stream of living water. And it begins to lift a standard against whatever the enemy is doing. Whatever the enemy is throwing your way, the Lord says from within there's going to be a bubbling of the Holy Spirit that will just begin to lift up a standard. The second thing he says, my word which I've placed in your mouth. You know, when you want to raise the standard, you need to stop saying what the world is saying and start saying what the word says. Amen. I wish somebody could hear me, because for too long we're going around declaring what the world is saying over one another instead of declaring the word of God. But God says, I'm raising a standard. The word that I've placed in your mouth is going to lift up the standard. You're going to come to somebody who's sick, and you're not going to say, oh shame, the doctor said. You're going to speak what the word says, and you're going to lift up the standard. The word that is in your mouth. You want to raise the standard. It's not something that is just like, oh yeah, maybe angels are going to fall from heaven and lift the standard. He says, it's the Holy Spirit within you and the word within your mouth. Amen. How are we going to lift the standard? What we say changes. Amen. This year, we're not going to be negative. We're not going to be speaking what the world is saying. Doesn't matter what they are declaring. We are not going to give the devil any credit anymore. We are going to release the word of God over one another. Paul was so serious about this that he says, regard one another, not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So when I see you, I need to stop focusing on the sinful, fleshy part of you and begin to focus on what the spirit is saying. And as we declare over one another what the spirit is saying, we lift up the standard. We're not going to become better by breaking each other down. Oh yeah, you're not good enough. Look at how you pray. Look at what this and that and this. He says, no, declare what I am saying. And when the word in your mouth aligns with the word of God, you begin to lift a standard. All around you, people were like, hey, those people are different. There's something different about them. When everybody else is complaining about the economy, you're beginning to prophesy over the economy what the word of God says. And so we're going to have to be people of the word. Word of truth, we need to go back into the word and put the word of God in our mouths, not just in our hearts. Like, oh yeah, I read the scriptures, I had my devotions, but when somebody says, how are you doing? You bring out the things of the world instead of bringing out what you've been reading in your devotions. After you've had your quiet time in the morning and somebody says, how are you doing? I don't believe you were reading a scripture that says, oh, woe to you, your life is going to come to an end. You are reading a scripture that is telling you that there is hope in Christ Jesus. So you're going to declare a different word and you lift the standard, and people around you will begin to expect what God is saying over your life. Prophesy. It's going to be difficult. Because when Eskom hits those lights, you want to go, we're doomed. I had a few Zimbabwean friends with me for the whole Christmas season. And they were saying, guys, why are you complaining? Why are you complaining? This in Zim, if electricity comes, we're like, hallelujah, praise Jesus. At least you've got a schedule. Electricity is coming and going. You know? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You can start saying, oh, we're going the way of Zimbabwe. And you are prophesying. You are so powerful. And you're beginning to lower the standard. And you're beginning to expect Eskom to just begin to go worse and worse because your standard is being lowered. But if you begin to declare that God will turn the situation around, this nation is not going down. It will not go the way of Africa. We will see a remnant come out of this. You're beginning to raise the standard. And the people that hear you speak will begin to expect something different. It's all about what the Spirit has put inside of you and the word that you're going to be releasing. That's how God is going to be lifting the standard. And this whole year, I'm going to be working hard to make sure that we understand what God has already put inside of us. This is not something that's coming. We're not waiting for it to come. It's like Holy Spirit is already inside of you. My word is already in your mouth. Why are you not declaring these things? I want to end by talking about the courage that is required to raise the standard. You see, when you live in a world where everybody has lowered the standard, the moment you begin to try and lift up the standard, they say, who do you think you are? Oh, you think you are better than us. And that's what's going to discourage you if you're not serious about the things of the Lord. It's like what everybody else is going to say. Because when everybody is just like average, when you begin to go beyond average, they don't like you. I was speaking to someone who works for our local municipality, and they were saying, oh yeah, I'm trying to make a difference. But even when I introduce ideas or things that could make a difference in our community, it's the guys on top of me that will begin to say, no, we don't want this. So what's the point? I said, no, you're defeated the moment you start saying that. You keep lifting up the standard. Let the people who work with you, the people that report to you, let them begin to say, hey, this guy expects something better out of me. When you work with people that have been just have been told like I just average is fine, when you begin to trust and believe in them rather and lift them up, they will start believing and the standard begins to rise. You can raise the standard wherever God has placed you if you start believing, but you need courage. You need courage. You're going to be the one that says, I'm going to do things a little bit different. Let them shoot me down. Let them try, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep raising the standard. And this is why people don't raise the standard, because it's not easy. It's not easy. It requires courage. People will fight you. Let me tell you, Christians will fight you when you want to go deeper in the things of God. Forget the enemy coming in like a flood. Your own Christian brothers, the moment you decide, I am just going to take things serious, they'll start speaking about you. And you're going to hear. And you're going to like, oh yeah, you know, maybe I must cool it down. Maybe I must turn. Maybe I must just be like everybody else. And guess what? When you lower the standard, it just gets worse. But if you keep lifting the standard, sooner or later, the people around you will start expecting a little bit more from you and from themselves and from everybody else, and the standard is lifted. So here's the challenge, word of truth. If we are courageous, we can start here by raising the standard here. Just here and say, God, we know we're in a big community where people have got different all sorts of opinions. But when we come together as word of truth, we are going to begin to expect a little bit more from one another. And just say, we're going to be a little bit different from one another. And guess what? We begin to raise the standard. And before you know it, our community will change because we're lifting up the standard. When God was speaking to me, the image that I've got, I'm still to design this thing and try and get visual picture of raising the standard. For those who have done history and you've studied World War, I think it was World War II, the Americans had that, the battle of, is it, Iwo Jima. And they've got this picture of raising the flag on Iwo Jima. And it's a flag, it's a picture of six Marine soldiers who are planting this flag. And I was just, by the Spirit, led to just look at this, because I saw in the Spirit God raising a flag over our community. And I was like, yeah, that's it. And I started reading about it. And I realized that it was not an easy task for those soldiers to go and plant that flag. You see, when you see it in a picture, you're kind of like, oh yeah, they walked into the battleground and just kind of defeated a few people. It was World War II, and Japan was not giving up. It's like the enemy coming in like a flood. Japan was just being stubborn. And the Allied forces agreed that they needed to take Iwo Jima for them to get advantage over Japan. But Japan had strategically positioned themselves in Iwo Jima, whatever it is. And they had tunnels, they had networks, they had about approximately, they say, 20,000 soldiers there. But America had the boldness of sending 6,000 soldiers up against 20,000. talk about raising the standard. Like, we're not moving. Japan is not moving. The enemy is not budging. There's a greater war than that of the world war that's happening right now. The enemy wants souls. It's destroying our families. It's destroying our communities. It's destroying nations. And it takes men of courage, women of courage, people that are going to say, even though the enemy is coming in like a flood, Japan seems to be coming in like a flood, but we're going to send 6,000 of our finest. And we're going to trust that they are going to fight till the very end. And the story says, the story goes that 72 hours after 6,000 Marines hit Iwo Jima, they had gained ground. And they soon discovered that there were people in tunnels. And then even though they had victory and some are going to put the flag and say, we have conquered Iwo Jima, they realized that there were thousands of Japanese people in the tunnels. And these Marines didn't say, we are tired. We have lost a great number of our men. They realized that if we are going to win this, we still have to go into the tunnels. They don't know what was in the tunnels, but they still had the courage to say, we're going to go into the tunnels and fight. And we're going to drag the Japanese soldiers one by one out of those tunnels. And 6,000 soldiers that went against 20,000 won 20 odd days later. I don't know what Truman had to tell them to go and fight. But I wonder what Jesus has to tell us to convince us to go out and say, we're going to raise the standard, we're going to plant a flag right in the midst of what the enemy is doing. Right in the midst of what the enemy seems to be like, yeah, you know, nothing is going to happen, and we're going to march in there and say, we're taking ground for our God. Church, we need courage. This is not a year of just saying, I'm raising the standard, and you just come to church and sit back. You don't raise the standard that way. It requires courage to be different. It requires courage to march in, because that's how it's going to look every single day. There's going to be a huge force against you every single day. I'm not declaring a year of a bed of roses where you're just going to be waltzing through and like, oh yeah, we're raising the standard. The enemy is not going to let you just walk through his territory. He's going to resist. But if we believe that we are on the Lord is on our side, and that the Lord, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, we're going to be fighting out of something, a deep conviction deep inside, that at the end of the day, good will win. At the end of the day, Jesus Christ will conquer all the kingdoms of this world. And one day, won't it be so special when some of us are saying, we have seen God overcome drugs in Port Alfred, because there was somebody who was willing to march right into drug-infested fields, neighborhoods, and say, we're going to make a difference. We're lifting the standard. And say to young men that are drunk, that are high on whatever they've been taking, there is more to your life. And we begin to lift up the standard, and we begin to raise them up, and they will begin to expect something better from one another. That even while they are smoking, they're like, oh, there's something better. You know, there was somebody that came and told me that God loves me. And while they are just getting high, they're like, I think we could do something a little bit better. They start witnessing to one another because somebody went in there and said, we'll make a difference. What God is calling us to do this year is to raise the standard. And I'm going to be challenging you in four specific areas that I really believe that God wants each and every one of us to raise the standard. The Bible says in Luke 2 and verse 52, Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and in favor with man. You want to raise the standard, a personal standard. Stature doesn't just talk about your height, it's just all that you are, your weightiness. Raise personal standards. Some of you just comb your hair, amen. Raise the standard. Just raise the standard somewhere. Somewhere, raise the standard. Just say, I could be better. There is more. Raise the standard intellectually. Spirit of wisdom. You see, if we are going to conquer the kingdoms of this world, we need to be wise. And we need to be shrewd, the Bible says. We need to have wisdom. Read something. Read your Bible. Read something. Just stretch yourself a little. Raise the standard. Raise the standard. Relationships. Favor with God and favor with man. Both man and God. Relationships. Last year we were talking about loving one another. The pressure is still on. Raise the standard in your relationships. Grow in favor this year. So I want to raise the standard in my relationships. If they used to call you the gossiper, raise the standard. You're not the gossiper this year. Now I'm helping somebody. I know that. I'm helping somebody. When they come to you for a cup of coffee and they want all those juicy things that you used to tell them, lift up the standard. Raise the standard. I'm a different person this year. Then finally, raise the standard spiritually, which is the first part. You grew in favor with God and in favor with man. You need to raise your standard in your spiritual walk. Raise the standard. We're going to do everything in our power to help you raise a spiritual standard, because here's what I know. If you raise a spiritual standard, it's easier to raise the standard everywhere else. It starts with the spirit inside, because it's what he has put inside of you. Start expecting more out of the spiritual you. Ah, that's good. Justin may not reach the standard, but there is Christ in me. Ah, there's Christ in me. The standard is too high for Justin, but Christ in me. I'm going to expect Christ in me to do so much more than what Justin can ever do. And all the pressure is going to be on Christ, because I'm raising the standard spiritually first. If you try and raise the standard anywhere else in your own strength, it's going to be your own strength. That's all it's going to be. You're going to be working hard, striving, and at the end of the year, I promise you, you will be defeated. But if you start by raising the standard spiritually and start saying, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And you begin to declare this every time you're going through stuff. It's like, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. You're expecting more from the Christ factor inside of you. And you're going to see God doing so much more with your life. Amen. Let's stand. This year, 2023, is the year for raising the standard. Start with your personal standards. Don't worry about what is the church going to do? Don't worry about anybody's standards. Start with your own standards. Just lift up your standard a little bit higher. I'm expecting a little bit more out of Justin this year. But more importantly, out of the Christ inside of me. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us the courage to raise the standard. It's so easy to get excited when we hear a word like this about raising the standard. But I'm so mindful of the fact that really raising a standard is going to require courage. The courage to stand out, to stick out, the courage to be different. Father, I pray that this year, 2023, we will have that courage to be different. That is Word of Truth Ministry. We will have the courage to be different. When everyone else is going in one direction, and we will go in the way of the Lord. We will follow the ways of the Lord. When everybody else is lowering the standards to suit and to adjust themselves to fit into the systems of this world, we will raise a standard. So Father, I pray that there may be more of you and less of us in 2023. More of you, more of you, more of you. As we decrease, we pray that the spiritual standard, the righteous judgments, the righteous laws of God, the righteous standards of God will be upheld and lifted high. Father, help us to raise a standard. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.